good to be slightly self-effacing, be humble first, and all that. Those same people are
trying to be as
quiet as the mumble of going will kind of have.
Here's the clock here.
Oh, so you put it down here? Yeah. Where can sit? Maybe just put it there. Or otherwise, yes. There's a what time is it? About 10 to?
Sorry, 10 to, yeah.
Shall I? I didn't brush my hair, Chaim. You ready me to start? Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. I want to do something slightly different from my usual style with you. I'm not a Baal Pilpa and I'm not a Lamdan, but I'm kind of a little bit locked into the sugya, a sugya in Psochim Dosan on base of Kol HaMitzvos V'Vorchem Alem over Lasi Oson, and I want to run past you the things that I bumped into in looking at the sukkah. We all know it's a Gemara comes in Psochim, in Sukkah, all over the place, Menachos. Shmuel says, Kol HaMitzvos V'Vorchem Alem over Lasi Oson. Whenever you're going to do a mitzvah, you have to make the bracha over Lasi Oson, which means just beforehand. And if it's time, we'll come to the question, why doesn't he say what it means? Because the Gemara has to bring Psukim to prove that the word Oiver means just beforehand. But there's a number of questions. There's a number of questions that we need to look at. One of them is, what does Oiver mean? And it seems to mean just before. The main question for me is, what's the Chiddush? In other words, just before and not earlier? Or just before and not later? And we're going to have to kind of look into that at the moment. The third question really is, sort of, is it true? In other words, are there exceptions? And you know that the Gemara itself mentions that Tfilas Geir is an exception. A Geir Getim Mikvaran, he can't say Asher Kiddushonu B'mitzvos until he comes out, because it's simply not true. So the Gemara accepts Beirav, not Shmuel, Beirav says, Tfilas is an exception. Machtoba, he goes down, comes up, he makes the brocha, after the mitzvah of Tvila is finished, because it's out of the water by the head's out of the water by the time I can make the bracha under the water. So it's actually beyond the end of the mitzvah. And final question, which is a big nafkamin al alocha, because all the rest of it is kind of theory, is what about b'di'eved? Now, it's a regular mitzvah where you would normally make the bracha beforehand, and you forgot. And you kind of wake up, come to, during the thing. At what stage can you or can you not? So the truth is bottom line. But the Eved, in theory, is a machlokes Rambam and Agos Oshri. The Rambam says you can't, and Agos Oshri says that you can. But we're going to see that there's madregas within what's called the Eved, and it's relatively speaking complex. It starts with a Gemara a few lines further up, where the Gemara mentions a braisa, ha'oise luluv le'atzmoy, a person's making a luluv, mevorach she'echionu. When he makes it, he makes she'echionu. And get involved in what that means. Not sloy lotzeisboy. If he picks it up in order to be mekau the mitzvah, zokte ha'shek d'sholu v'tzoisov, v'tzibonu al netzilas luluv. So the Gemara's got a problem that be'in the agbay nof agbay, that the moment he's picked up, he's already mekau the mitzvah. The Gemara discusses, should the loshen therefore be al netzilas luluv or whatever it is. But Tosfos points out, and it's a famous long Tosfos in Sukkah, which we need to come back to, I think, Lamed Tes, Shimon, that it's kind of too late for Ovel Asiyosin by the time he's picked it up, because just by picking up the luluv, he's been mekayem the mitzvah. But it seems clear from that Gemara, if you ignore Tosfos for a minute, that you can make it, but you can play that one but both ways, because you could say that's the kasha of the Gemara. How can you, because it's too late? So you could kind of do interesting things with that one. Tosfos in Sukkah speaks at length about the problem of Arba Minim, that actually the mitzvah is a lekachtem, so just by picking them up, you're mekayem the mitzvah already, and actually Tosfos is reflecting a Gemara here, Gemara in other places. So Tosfos got eight, says we tend to pick the Esrog up upside down because it's got to be Derech Giduloi. Interestingly, somebody told me the other day that, you know, that all four of the Minim have to be Derech Gidulim. You have to hold them the direction that they grow from the ground. So what happens if a person buys an Australian luluf? There are poskim who say he has to hold it the other way up. Tucker. So I thought, what's the answer? Don't buy an Australian lulu. But it's kind of, I thought that was quite cute, actually. But anyway, so Tosfos has got all sorts of eitzes, and Tosfos says at the end, as he says here, that since we're going to go on to the Nanuim in Hallel, we've still got a shaychus to the mitzvah, even we've been yoytzes, so but the Eved we couldn't. See, my reading of Tosfos, maybe I'm wrong, is Tosfos be'etz not like the Rambam. But the Eved, you can't make a bracha if you missed Ovel HaSiyosan. But it's still called Ovel HaSiyosan as long as you've still got a bit of a shaykhus to the mitzvah. However, there's one very important thing I want to bring out from Tosfos, because I asked the question before. When we say Ovel HaSiyosan just beforehand, does it mean just beforehand and not earlier? Or just beforehand and not later? It's clear from Tosfos, and I think this must be undisputed, that Shmuel's chiddush of Ovel HaSiyosan means just beforehand and not later. Because Tosfos says, I've got a posha to eitzah for you with your lulav mesuk. Leave them on the table, make the bracha, and then pick them up. Sholom al Yisrael. So Tosfos, that doesn't come into question. Tosfos doesn't say, that's not called over, that's yosan. Tosfos, you can't do that. It's a bit like you make a bracha in an apple, go to the larder, pick out an apple. You can't do it till the chefze is kind of with you. And there's no such thing as a bracha on something invisible, right? You've got to be holding the chefzer while you make the bracha or some such. So it's quite clear from Tosfos, and I suspect this is undisputed, that Shmuel's chiddush of Ovel HaSiyosan is you have to make the bracha just before you do the mitzvah, and not later. The only machlokes, Rambam, and I got Oshri is, but the Eved, if you missed that, and not later, if you started, what do you do? And in terms of the time that you've still got the shaychus, we can just logically look at it a number of ways. We could say, how long have I got? So big deal, I forgot to make the bracha on whatever mitzvah it is over last year, just beforehand. How long have I got? You could say you've got forever. It's a bit remote, you know. Let's take a kind of obvious mitzvah. I put my tefillin on, forget to make the bracha, daven, take them off, go to business, and say, oh, I forgot to make the bracha. It's a bit impossible. It's just, I mean, Tosfos already says just beforehand, it can't be. You could suggest, and this is Tosfos Havamin at least, that it means until you've finished being Mekayim the mitzvah. So that's a possibility. You could suggest, as Tosfos does, that it's as long as you've got an association, a shaychus to the mitzvah. Because Tosfos says, and it is a chiddush, that as long as you haven't yet done the nanuim on the lulav, you can still make the bracha. So that to me means you've been Mekayim the mitzvah. You could put it down, yeah? And we're going to see some other chilukim in a minute. And you could say something else. Let's go back to the Gemara, because everything has to start fit and finish with the Gemara, doesn't it? Tov ava ola, a person's becoming a ger. Geter aran, kum teraros. Has he still got the shaychus with the mikveh just because his feet are wet? Zicha not. So how can he make the bracha? It's over. So the simple teretz is you've got like sort of a toich kadei dibur dikashir straight after you finish being mekayim the mitzvah or something like that. It is reasonable to suggest that. And we're going to see a couple more in between cases in a minute. There is a Shagas Arya. I find the Shagas Arya not a difficult limud, but an impossible limud. It's just not a style that I can cope with at all. But Shagas Arya has got a Hagor here that spoke to me. Let's just learn the Gemara again. Amar Vidom Ashmuel, kol ha-mitzvahs mevorcham alem over la-asiyosam. Every mitzvah you have to make the bracha just before you start. How do we know that's what the word means? Blah, blah, blah. Be-rav omri chutz min ha-tfilah. So Rav says, I better agree with Shmuel, but there's an exception, Tvila. It was at Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't say chutz min ha-tvila. The Shachas Arya says that Shmuel holds kol ha-mitzvahs v'vorcham alem over la-asiyosam with no exceptions, and if you can't, you've had it, don't make a bracha. So it looks as if Shmuel holds a ger would not make a bracha. And that it must surely follow, mustn't it? That Shmuel would hold on all other mitzvahs. If you missed the Ovel HaSiyosan, it's too late. I mean, it looks to me like a kal v'chomer. If already betfila, where he couldn't make the bracha beforehand, if he's missed it, he's missed it. Other mitzvahs where he could have, and it's his own silly fault. So that seems to be a machlokes bei Rav and Shmuel, which doesn't panic me too much, because don't forget, in Issa v'Heta, the halachos like Rav against Shmuel. So that would mean, that would side a bit in a way with Agos Oshri. But there's a shach about the sugya. Because the Gemara goes on like this. Bei Rav said, except for Tvila, and there's a bit of discussion for some reason, Tzkiyas Shofar slipped in here, and it seems to be a mistake. And then the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi, there's a brisa that supports this. Torval V'Ola, he goes to Mikveh and comes out, but the Yosei Emma, as he's on his way out, he says, Hashem Kedishonim, it's all been to one of our Tvila. Yeah. So the Shach says like this. Lo Memachanachesh. Let's say you can make the bracha b'di'evet. Let's go with Agos Oshri against the Rambam, that b'di'evet you can. So the Bryce is not proving anything, because that's b'di'evet. The fact that this Bryce is a raya must be because b'di'evet you can't make the bracha. So the Shach says this sugya is a raya to the Rambam, that basically b'di'evet you can't. So Ger's an exception. Why is Ger an exception? Because he didn't have a choice. He couldn't make before because he can't say it. He's not chayev in a bracha before. He's only chayev in brachas on his way out. So that's the first opportunity. So that's the exception. So the Shach wants to suggest. So we're going to come to all those in a minute, Mr. Makov. My biggest problem, which is a little bit unresolved, is why does Gemara only not say Tvila? There's the Yadayim, there's Shabbos Lich, there's all sorts of other things that the Gemara does not mention, and there's a bit of a question why not, which I'm going to try and unpick with you. That's the easiest one, because the Rishonim who say Netilas Yadayim is Ma'en Tvila. It's clear that when we say called the Tikkun Rabbanon Ka'en Doraisa Tikkun, yeah, everything the Chachamim instituted, they based it on a framework of a Doraisa, that Netilas Yadayim is sitting on the backs of the Kiddush Yadayim Raglam of the Kohenim. That's why we need to use a Keli and on Tvila. Yeah, there's more to say, but we're going to come to that. As I said, the problem really, the challenging problem is why does the Gemara only mention Tvila when we can list on fingers of two hands more and more exceptions. So that's the beginnings of the sugya. Now there's a Gemara in Menachos speaking about Tfilin, which I think is important. And I'm going to start, just for entertainment, with something completely different. You know that the Gemara in, I think, Bava Basra and also Menachos has a problem with the last 8 psukim of the Chumash. 8 psukim from the end of the Chumash, there are 3 words, Vayomos Shom Moshe. Moshe died. So the Gemara says, who wrote it? Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, a dead man who writes a Sefer Torah, it's possible, yeah? So, the Gemara says maybe Yeshua, or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Bedema. Or in the Tumultzach, in the Mefarshim, what does this word Bedema mean? Marsha says it means he wrote it in tears, not in ink. Which is a pele, because a Sefer Torah written in ink is possible, so it's difficult to quite know what he means. Rashi says it's the obvious pshat, it means with tears in his eyes. Doesn't answer the question. So there's a huge tumult, the Maharal, I think it is, and that's why I'm coming. I mean, there's lots to say about that. Maybe if after this one MD asks me to speak again, if it's L time, maybe we'll talk about that. Perhaps he won't ask me again, don't know. But Maharal says, death isn't a moment, it's a process. He'd begun dying, so there were tears in his eyes. And he could write truthfully, Vayomos Shom Moshe, but he was still alive. And death isn't an instant, it's a process. I'm not getting involved in medical halachas, it's not my field. So kind of lahavdil, the Gemara says quite clearly here, when Shmuel says you have to make the bracha just before you start, it doesn't mean just before you start starting, it means just before you finish starting. Between this one and that one. In other words, you have to make the bracha before you've finished starting doing the mitzvah. In other words, the Gemara is saying starting to a mitzvah can be a process. For example, I think it's Rabbi Natam who holds that there's a mitzvah to tie tzitzis every morning. We cheat, yeah? We've got them ready, put them on. Rabbi Natam, I think it is, holds, one of the Balei HaTosfos, it's a mitzvah to retie them each morning. So when would you make the bracha? You could still be called Avodasios until you finish tying the fourth one. Because it's clear from the Gemara Menachos by Tzvilin, by Kshira Lanocha, that Avodasios L'chadchila means not when you before you start starting, but before you finish starting. There's a process called starting doing the mitzvah, and it's still called Avodasios until you finish starting doing the mitzvah. That's very important. And that's nothing to do with the Rambam and Agos Oshri about B'dieved. That's L'chadchila. It's called Ovelas Yasson, so you're four square with Shmuel, you're four square with Beirah, with everything, if you do it before you've finished starting doing the mitzvah. So I think that's kind of perhaps important to know. Let's move on, because especially Mr. Mankoff mentioned it, to Netilas Yadayim. We have a problem with Netilas Yadayim, which is, what do? We wash our hands, then we make the bracha, then we dry our hands. So we appear to miss the Ovelasiyosa moment of just before we start. And the Rishonim, Tosfos and others talk about it, and there's lots of tirutzim which are not mutually exclusive. They say it's probably all true. One of them is quite simple. As I said to Mr. Mankoff, there's those who say that Tetisadayim Hamam Avagishtelt Af Tvila. It's a chelek, that when the Gemara says Tvila, it means that too. And there's a reason as well. There's a similar reason, because if you're washing your hands, it could well be that before that, you're not in a position to make a bracha because your hands are dirty. So what are you supposed to do? Wash your hands, make the bracha, and then what? Then you potter, you know. So it could well be from that point of view. But Tosfos also holds, a bit like Na'anuim, it's consistent in Tosfos, that the drying of your hands is a chelik of the mitzvah. So you haven't finished starting doing the mitzvah till you dry your hands. And therefore, by washing them and then making the bracha and then drying them, you're okay with the inyan of Ovelasiyosa, because until you dry them, you haven't finished starting doing the mitzvah. But it's a little bit uncomfortable in Tosfos, he says himself, because it's not like, you know, with tefillin, until you put this one and that one, you're not yoitzer, yeah? But with the Tisudan, basically, the mitzvah really is to wash them. You've kind of finished the ikka. So it's a bit more like the nanum of the lulav in a way, which is more b'di'eved rather than l'chadchila, so it's a little bit uncomfortable. Tosfos then does something which I think is important, and I haven't seen anyone who picks up on it. Tosfos says at the end, and in Yerushalmi, there's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, and I forget too, whether you have to make the bracha over lasiyosoi or b'shas lasiyosoi. Just beforehand or while you're doing it. Why does Tosfos bring that Yerushalmi? If there's a machlokes Bavli in Yerushalmi, we're always passing like the Bavli, although the Vilna Gaon sometimes doesn't, and actually, now I come to think about it, Tosfos in Brochas occasionally doesn't, but generally speaking we do. And it's clear from Sukkot all over Shas that we passkin. So why bring a Yerushalmi and muddy the water? I wonder whether Tosfos is answering the very first question I asked. When Shmuel says Oiver, does he mean just beforehand and not earlier? Or does he mean just beforehand and not later? Since the Yerushalmi has two opinions, just beforehand or a bit later, you see that Shmuel's Chiddush is just beforehand and not later, rather than just beforehand and not earlier. That's what the Yerushalmi shows, that the alternative would have been. And the Netziv, I just bumped into it this morning, the Netziv says, he says that actually, in a way, is the answer to our other question, which is, why don't you use English? Kol ha-mitzvus mevorcham aleim koidem la-asiyoson, or lifnei asiyoson. Why use this funny word, oiva? It's the only, yeah? And we've got psukim from all over Nach to prove that oiva means just before. So the Tziv says, because it means mamish, just before. Koidem or lifnei or any of those words mean any time before. Oiva la-asiyoson means at the instant, just before you do. So that's a broad view of the sugya. And the one that's a big mystery to me is Hadlokas HaNeiros. The earliest reference to a problem with the brocha of Lahadlik Ne'er is a Bahag. Rashi brings a Bahag. So Bahag is like a generation, or say two generations before Rashi. Baal HaLokas Gedoyl is one of the Gedoyl HaRishonim who raises this problem, and he says that you tint the licht and you make the brocha afterwards. And as we know, the Prisha brings a story with his mother when it was Yom Tov and then it was Shabbos and the whole business where she got muddled up. And so the Prisha says, we always make the bracha afterwards, even on Yom Tov when you could make it before, because they'll get one. And that's machlokes aposkim. But the Bahag says that you have to do what we do, which is that we light the licht and make the bracha afterwards, because lighting the licht constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos. So if you make the bracha, you're sunk. You can't light the licht. So it's sort of, it's in a sense self-defeating. If the Bahag brings it, that's what we do, yeah? What did they do in the Chatam to Gemara? Why doesn't the Gemara mention it? It seems to me fairly clear that at least in the time of Rav and Shmuel, they made the bracha and then they lit the licht. Because if it had to wait till the Bahag for anyone to say anything, lichura, it's something that started happening in about his time. And I don't have a big problem with that. I want to throw a Rabbi Akiva Eiger at you. In Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, there, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, I have a problem, yeah? Everyone likes two licht, some people like more. Some people like two plus one for each of their children. Somebody told me once, I don't know if it's true, that the makor of that minhag is that in times gone by, women had a baby, they were laid up for a week, they weren't allowed down to light the candles. So they missed a week. Mela, from then on, they had to light another one. I don't know if that's true or not. But, so Vega says, surely, lighting Shabbos licht, Ein lecha Kabbalah Shabbos Gadol Mizeh. That must be a Kabbalah Shabbos. So is she a Kabbalah Shabbos when she lights the first one? It can't be, otherwise she couldn't light the others. It must be that we understand there's a process called Hadlokas HaNeiros, and the Kabbalah Shabbos is at the end. So why should making the bracha at the beginning be more problematic than lighting the licht? Let's say there's a woman doesn't make a bracha for whatever reason, she's lighting the Shabbos licht. The lighting of the left will be a Kabbalah Shabbos for her. So Rikviga says, just as it's not lighting the first one, it's lighting the last one, so put the bracha into your chesbon as well. Make the bracha, light the left, the Kabbalah Shabbos is at the end, and then light by Tzorachim. Rabbi Leib Gruitz used to say, if Rikviga asks the kasha, there isn't a teret. So I'm going to let that stand. Rabbi Falk Shlita says that there's a small number of Rishonim who hold that by saying the word Shabbos, that's somehow or another a really powerful Kabbalah Shabbos. So she says, L'hadik ne'eshel Shabbos, that's in a sense more powerful than the lighting. They don't really understand it. But it seems to me, and this is to be found in some of the early Achronim, the following. Kabbalah Shabbos isn't a maaseh. Kabbalah Shabbos is a psychological change of mind. It can be symbolized or firmed up or realized by a bracha or a masa or something. But basically, Kabbalah Shabbos is what's going through your head. On Friday afternoon, in times when all light was tallow candles or whatever, no electrics, and a person goes through the house lighting the licht so that there should be enough light for Shabbos. But not l'shem Kabbalah Shabbos, she doesn't make a bracha, it's not the Kabbalah Shabbos. You could talk about the fact that she's lost an opportunity or whatever, but it's not. Even if she goes to the leichter and lights them, if that's not why, if she's just lighting them for a minute to see what's going on in the corner, then good luck. But Kabbalah Shabbos is a frame of mind. By saying this or doing this, I am being Mekabel Shabbos. Only if that's what's going through your mind, is it a Kabbalah Shabbos? So it seems to me that for some reason, the frame of mind of the women by the time of the Bahag became that by saying the bracha, they're Mekabel Shabbos. And if that's what they think, that becomes a reality. Like anything else. Like anything else that could be a Kabbalah Shabbos. Because that's what you think. That's how you're a Kabbalah Shabbos, that becomes your Kabbalah Shabbos, providing it's after Blag HaMincha, whatever it is. So it seems to me that at times of Chazal, the women didn't think like that. That you've got a mitzvah to do, you make a bracha b'vayin, you do your mitzvah, at the very end of the mitzvah is about being Mekabel Shabbos, so you're Mekabel Shabbos. But by the time of the Bahag, the women's frame of mind had become that the word Shabbos, like Rabbi Falk says, the bracha is somehow or another in their minds a Kabbalah Shabbos, so that's what it became. So the Bahag says, if that's how people think, we've got to come to terms with that and only make the bracha after we've lit the candles rather than before. I can't see any other way to explain why it had to wait till the Bahag. And of course, that does answer the question why it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Although the Pashtus, we'll come to some Pashtus in a minute. There's one or two more in between cases. There's a famous Ramah that provoked a storm. You know, before you shecht in docha mitzvah, v'zavachto kasher tzivisicha. So you make a bracha, shecht in the shonen, like any other mitzvah. Ramah says, if somebody brings me behema, And there's a, before we even start, there's a shaila about the kashrus of the behemah. Suffolk trephus or something. So what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to shecht it, and not just do the normal checking of the lungs and there's something else I'm going to need to check as well. So I can't make a bracha before, and it might be a bracha levatol, because if it's a trefa, there's no mitzvah. Normally, when we shecht, we rely on the fact that roiv, behemahs, becheskes, kashrus, most behemahs are kosher. You can make the bracha on the shechita, you do check the lungs and the tzimtzum, because that's what you do in case, but that's it's okay. Here, there's a genuine question, it might be a trefa. So Ramos says, do the shechita, check it, and then make the bracha. Standing square with Agos Oshri, obviously against the Rambam, and that's where the shach is that I mentioned to you, and it made a storm. But that Ramah provokes a question. Let's talk about shechting behemoths rather than oifers for a minute. You know that going from the head to the body and back, there are, apart from the spine itself, there's two pipes. There's the trachea and the esophagus. One is for breathing, one's for eating, and then there are veins and arteries and things. So the mitzvah of shechita is with Bayahema to cut roiv of each of those two pipes. Roiv of the trachea and roiv of the esophagus. It's not a chiyuv to sever the veins and arteries, though if you don't, there are various special halachas kick in, but the mitzvah of shechita is to cut roiv of those two pipes. And once you've done roiv of those two pipes, you can stop. But if you carry on, decide you're going to do more than roiv, do 90% or all, and then you start doing things you're not allowed to do during shechita, like pressing or whatever, that puzzles the shechita. So what's called miyot basra, the last miyot of either of those two pipes, you're not going to do it. But if you do it, it's a chelek of the mitzvah. So is that called still that you're oisik with the mitzvah? My heart tells me that's better than the nanuim of sukkah, of luluv. Because it mamish is a kiyum of the mitzvah in some sense or another. But it would be interesting to know. And one stage further beyond that is tzitzin she'emat v'nas amida. Same type of thing. And Prima Godin makes a machloikus about that. There's a curious Rambam. A Rambam that's given people opportunities to kind of examine things for a while. The Rambam says sukkahs. You go into your sukkah. You have to make kiddush standing up. Even though, generally speaking, the Rambam seems to hold you make kiddush sitting down. Then you make the bracha of leishei basukkah, and then you sit down. Because if you sit down first, you've missed the oivah la'asiyachson on the mitzvah of leishei basukkah. At face value, the Rambam is saying a chiddush gadol, which is nothing to do with us, which is that when we say leishei basukkah, we mean to sit in the sukkah. You know, losheves in Loshen Kodesh sometimes means to sit, and sometimes means to live. It never means to dwell, because there's no word dwell. You know, we dwell in North Manchester, where we don't dwell anywhere anymore. Right? So it means to live or to sit. And the pastor says, leishei basukkah means to live in the sukkah, and you can live standing up as much as you can live sitting down. So the Rambam from that point of view is mysterious, really, because it's for sure that you could be makam a mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah if you stand up, if you make it some sort of a kvias there, you know, stand up at a bar and have a drink or whatever it is. I don't know why a person would be eating sandwiches standing up, but they are the mechuyav to eat them in the sukkah. So the pashtus is that's not what the Rambam means. That the Rambam understands and agrees that leishei basukkah means to live in the sukkah. And the bracha of tzivonu leishei basukkah is on living in the sukkah. But the Rambam is saying like this. Supposing I've got an office in my house and my sukkah is, the door to my sukkah is off the back of my office. I'm sitting in my office doing whatever I'm doing. I whiz into the sukkah for a moment, spend a minute there and whiz back to my office. Whiz into the sukkah, spend a moment, go back to my office. I'm living in my office and popping into my sukkah. Sitting down is a statement, I'm going to stay there for a while. So again, it's a bit like the lichbench thing. It's a psychological statement that this is going to be my mokum dira. And that's what the Rambam means. Walking into a sukkah isn't of itself a kiyum mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, unless you go in with the intention of spending some time there and making it the place where you're eating, sleeping, living, learning, whatever it is. So the pashas is that's what the Rambam means, that by doing that I'm showing that I'm going to stay for a while, so to speak, and that's why you have to stay standing up until you've made the bracha, and that way you'll catch the inyan of Ogilasi Yosef. I can't see any other way to explain the Rambam, but there's Harbe Dvarim Nemru, there's been a lot that's said, a lot that's talked, a lot that's done about that. Oh, so we've got a number of types of mitzvah. Yeah, thank you. A number of types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that take an instant. Tefillah takes an instant. The moment the person is totally under the water, he has been mekayim the mitzvah. There's no inyan to stay longer. He doesn't have to stay longer. He can come straight out. So some mitzvahs are mamish, instantaneous. Yeah. Some mitzvahs, like shechita, takes a certain amount of time from the beginning, the moment you start, till you've done roif simonim, and we're not going to get drawn into yesh lod shechita b'tchilat sof, which is the discussion about how the process works. And then you've got this funny extra bit, the basra, which is kind of partly a chelek of the mitzvah. Then you've got mitzvahs like sukkah, tzitzis, tefillin, where there's a mitzvah to sort of start doing them, but as long as you're doing them, you're still being a kind of mitzvah. If I would take off my talis cotton now and put it on again, I can. I'm not mechuyev to wear talis cotton, but if I do, I'm. Yeah. So, and same with tefillin and all these other things. So, and sukkah, as Rav Shimon says, sukkah, as long as you're in the sukkah, you're mekayim a mitzvah. So even if you hold like the Rambam, that b'di eved, if you've missed ovelas yoson, you've had it, you've still got the toisvus. It's better than the nanum of lulav, because you're actually still being mekayim the mitzvah. Whereas with lulav, once you've picked it up, you've actually been yoitz to the mitzvah. You're not mitzad halocha min haTorah. There's no point in keeping hold of the abaminim once you pick them up. That's it. Masha'en came with sukkah, with tefillin, with tzitzis, all these things. They're kind of ongoing. So lichura, even if you hold like the Rambam, if you've missed it, you've had it. Here, like Tosfos says with lulav and all these, and that's in the Gemara, clearly in the Gemara sukkah. And here, you still can be mekayim the mitzvah. I'm intrigued, and I didn't have a chance. I'm going to throw it at you and really not quite know. I'm intrigued by the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The mitzvah of telling the story on Seder night. You know that we don't make a bracha at the beginning. Asher kedeshonu b'mitzvoisol v'tzivonu l'saper b'tzis mitzrayim or l'hagid es b'neinu or whatever. You know, b'gadat. We don't make such a bracha. And you probably know that many rishonim and some achronim write as to why. There is, I think it's an Amek bracha, but I heard from Rabbi von Gurwitz once, who says the following. Stemazachavek say tonight, yeah? Baruch atu Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Olam, Asher Kideshonu B'mitzvosov, V'tzivonu, L'saper B'yetzias Mitzrayim. That can't be overlastly awesome, because by saying those words, you've been mekayim the mitzvah. So if you hold like the Rambam, that once you've missed it, you've missed it, it's logically impossible to make that brocha, because by the time you finish the brocha, you've already been mekayim the mitzvah. So, I mean, there's other tirutzim as well. There's, I think, a tshuva of the Rashba who points out that the second brocha, Asher Goalonu v'Goelas HaVaseinu Mitzrayim, that's kind of in place of a because of mitzvah, so that's a bit like closeness with the nanum. Yeah, you're still busy with the mitzvah. Others say taka the kiddush, because kiddush mentions the concept of the, you know, there's lots of tumul about that, but I'm a little bit intrigued by that. And of course, the one that I don't think we got words for today, we're for sure not, is this. The Gemara in Pesachim later on, I don't know where it is, Shimon, I'm sorry. And you all know the Gemara. Gemara discusses a person's making Seder, and they've only got one type of vegetable. They've got moro, and there's nothing else for karpas. So they're going to have to use moro for karpas as well as moro for moro. Fine, no problem. The Gemara says, when you make the brocha on the moro, you make the mitzvah brocha at the same time. Even though you're only going to be kayim the mitzvah of achilas moro later on, many hours later on, but la'ach ha'shemile kreisoy mimenu choyzer mevorech. The Gemara says, you can't make a brocha on something when you've eaten so much of it. You filled yourself with it. I don't know what the svara of that Gemara is about this, right? I really don't know. Rashi, who holds the mitzvah of achilas matzis afikoymen, says that's why we make the bracha lechitas matzah at the beginning, not at the end as well. Rashi says, really, the mitzvah kazayis is the last kazayis. And that's why Rashi holds, and there are others who do it, you don't talk except me'en ha-mitzvah from the beginning till afikoimen, because you've made the birkas ha-mitzvah. So Rashi holds every safe night we do this one. Once you've eaten some, in other words, the mitzvah matzah is the last piece. But you can't make a birkas ha-mitzvah on something you've been eating. You have to make the rock at the beginning. It's funny because it's then completely not over the siyosi. It's hours beforehand. In the case of both matzah, it's a good half hour longer the suda takes. In the case of moror, if you've got only more of a karpas, it's hours and hours beforehand. So I really don't quite know what that's about. Okay, just to say, I've got no answers. I just wanted to throw some stuff at you that I found interesting recently. I asked myself a question. Why do we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah? You know, we understand before we eat, we make a bracha, you know, very, very oversimplified. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledge where it comes from, whatever it is, yeah. So, there's a number of things in the Rishonim. There's two things in the Ritva. The Ritva says, first of all, you make a birkas ha-mitzvah simply to focus your mind on the mitzvah before you're mekayim the mitzvah. So that when you do the mitzvah, you'll be concentrating properly. And of course, it would follow according to that in Svara, that if you missed it, you missed it. And then the Ritva says something else, which is much too lofty for me. He says, a bracha is avoidas ha-nefesh, and a mitzvah is avoidas ha-guf. Avoidas ha-nefesh comes before avoidas ha-guf. So those of you who've got pipes, you could put them in that one in your pipe and smoke it. I don't quite know what it means. But to me, there's an interesting lashon in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Kashem, in the same way as Chazal were Masakan Birkas HaNenin, so they were Masakan Birkas HaMitzvahs. And there's a Ra'avan who says, and I think the Rambam claps with this, the Ra'avan says like this, before we have Hanoah, also they Honos me Olam Azeh below Bracha. It's also to have Hanoah in Olam Azeh without making a Bracha first. And as I say, the oversimplified logic is, we're having something that's kind of nice to have, pleasurable, good for us, we have to thank Hashem for it beforehand. Ravan says, every time we make a mitzvah, we're also having Hanoah. It may be delayed action, because the Hanoah is only going to be given to us after 120 years. We're storing up Hanoah in Olam Haba. So Ravan says, a birkas ha-mitzvah is a birkas ha-nenin. And as I say, if you want to get busy, you could say, you know, that the Ritva holds is a birkas ha-shevach, and you could play games with it. But I think... I think that if we were to go, and I'm out of time now, if we were to go into the concept of what the word Boruch means, where there are three shittas in the Rishonim and a fourth shitta in the Achronim, we would see that depends on these svaras as well. Shkoyach. You've got a title.